Sam's database. The tail, where the tanks? Anything large would have to be... Octal's database. There now, I can see some kind of cradle he's... Can't be for...
They faded in and out, chattering, snarling at each other. Sam seemed certain that Joshua had picked something up. He listened to it in a waking daze as the Madier drifted past. Slowly it was all happening in time, stretched thin. A lump of clear ice coasted past, as broad as his hand. There was a turquoise and orange fish inside, three eyes around a triangular beak-like mouth, staring ahead, as if it was somehow aware of its surroundings, swimming along its eternal migration path. He watched it dwindle away, too numb to try and collect it, gone forever now. He had virtually fallen asleep when the inertial guidance program warned him he was now falling behind the Madier. The maneuvering pack jets began to fire in a long, elaborate pattern, reducing his velocity and altitude again, sending him curving down behind the Madier. Sam's database. Response from the flight computer. Photonic interface point. Octal's database. Fission blade won't work. The fucking hatch is monobonded carbon, I'm telling you. Why don't you listen, asshole? Sam's database. Little shit, find his body, chew on his bones. The maneuvering pack took Joshua behind the Madier, the ship a fuzzed pink outline a kilometer ahead of him. He could catch an intermittent view of it through the swirl of particles. Then he lowered his orbit again, a few hundred meters this time, and orbital mechanics wheeled him in towards it with a painful slowness. His approach was conducted solely within its blind spot, a cone extending backwards from its reaction drive. All he had to do was keep the bulk of the engine bay between himself and the sensors protruding from the life support module, and he would remain undetected, especially in the clutter of the ruin ring. He also had the advantage that they thought he was dead. They wouldn't be looking, not for anything as small as a suit. The last 100 meters were the worst, a quick burst of speed, rushing headlong into the twin pits of the reaction drive nozzles. If they started up now... Joshua slid between the two fat bell shapes and anchored himself on the maze of thrust distribution struts. The rockets were similar in principle to the engines in his space plane, though he didn't know the mark. A working fluid, usually a hydrocarbon, was pumped into an energized chamber where it was heated to about 75,000 degrees Kelvin by a colossal discharge from the power cells. It was a simple system with few moving parts, little to go wrong, and cheap to maintain. Scavengers didn't need anything more. The delta V you needed to travel between Tranquility and the Ruin Ring was small. Joshua couldn't think of anyone who used a fusion drive. He began to move around the gimbals, going hand over hand, careful not to jar his feet against anything. The power leads were easy to find, superconductor cables as thick as his arm. He fished round his belt for the fission knife. The 10-centimeter blade glowed a spectral yellow, unusually bright in the shade-soaked engine bay. It made short work of the cables. Another quick climb brought him up against the hulking tanks. They were covered by a quilt of Nulltherm insulation blanket. He settled himself at the bottom of one tank and stripped a patch of the insulation away. The tank itself was a smooth, dull silver, merging seamlessly into the turbo pump casing at its base. He jammed the thermal inducer into a support strut joint, squirted on some epoxy to make sure it wouldn't slip, and datavised a series of orders into its processor. 10 minutes later, the processor switched on the thermal induction field. Joshua had programmed it to produce a narrow beam 10 centimeters wide, 3 meters long. Three-quarters of it was actually projected inside the tank, where it started to vaporize the hydrocarbon liquid. Frenzied currents churned, carrying more fluid into the field. Pressure built swiftly, rising to dangerous levels. The metal shell of the tank wasn't quite so susceptible to the field. Its molecular structure retained cohesion for almost 20 seconds before the sheer quantity of heat concentrated into such a small area disrupted the valency bonds. The metal turned malleable and began to bulge outwards, impelled by the irresistible pressure mounting inside the tank. In the Madeir's cramped cabin, Sam Neves widened his eyes in horror as data-vised alarms shrilled in his brain.